Cougar football, as we have documented, 5-0 on the bye week, and the BYU basketball season right around the corner. Are we feeling more hype about Cougar football or basketball right now? Plus, we discuss BYU basketball's entire Big 12 schedule. What are the best home games, the best revenge games, and the best road trip on this year's schedule?
BYU guard Dallin Hall will stop by. What's he looking forward to about year two in the Big 12 Conference? And how have the first week of practices gone? And women's hoops assistant coach John Wardenburg on how early practices have been and the challenge that lies ahead in year two in the Big 12.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, October 2nd. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who always enjoys a good selfie, Jason Shepherd.
Yeah, and apparently we're not the only ones. This is something that's taking over on social media, at least within the BYU community.
It's gone viral to a degree.
It has certainly gone viral. Courtney Waymont was part of some Olympians that were at the White House, and they were meeting with President Biden, and there was a moment where they were talking about taking a selfie, and President Biden actually just grabs Courtney's phone and starts turning it around. The video just kept going. So it's like this live video after he takes the phone. And you can see, here's for those that are watching on BYU TV, she's like, oh, and now he's taking my phone.
All right.
And
there you go, Mr. President.
Yeah, there you go. How cool is that? Like, regardless of what your political affiliation is, if you have a president that comes by and takes your phone in order to take a selfie, that's pretty cool.
That's the one person that you never say no to if they want your phone.
Yeah.
The POTUS. It's like, I'm taking your phone. Okay.
Because what are you going to do? Are you going to make any quick movements towards the president?
Yeah, Secret Service is like, give him that. Give him that phone.
So pretty cool. Courtney Waymont it was awesome that they were able to have that kind of a viral moment.
The Olympics continue to give, Jason. How about that? The 9 Cougars in the Olympics were so fun to watch this summer. And we are enjoying football right now. And we are going to enjoy BYU men's and women's basketball, which is on topic today. All that said, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Kevin Young is going to go 20-0 in Big 12 Conference.
Let's send you some goggles, baby.
What Kevin has accomplished, it's unheard of.
He's got the potential to be a lottery pick.
We can climb the mountaintop just as well as anybody else, so why can't we do it?
Let's talk hoops. Why not? Football bye week and Marriott Madness happening tomorrow night. Last Friday, if you remember, the Big 12 released the conference schedules for the 2024-2025 season. So today we take the deep dive into that schedule and do so with some schedule superlatives for the glory of alliteration, Jason. Let's start with this. The top 3 home games for BYU men's basketball this season.
So let's go back quickly to last year. When the schedule came out for BYU's first season in the Big 12, and the basketball schedule came out, who was the team we all looked to see if they were coming to Provo?
It was Kansas.
It was Kansas. They did not. So right out of the gate, having Kansas come here, that's number one on my top 3 home games. Also, having Arizona coming to town is also on my list. We know how good that program is and how good we expect them to be. So to be able to have them at the Marriott Center is a big, big deal. And then the final regular season game of the season, senior night, just happens to be Utah at the Marriott Center. So those are my top 3. Kansas, Arizona, and then Utah on senior night.
Emotions high for all 3. My 3 are presented in no particular order other than chronologically. Frankly, I didn't take the time to rank them like you, Jason, which is probably a shortcoming of my own. But I did come up with my top 3. So we'll start with the first of the home games that I am looking forward to the most, which is about with Texas Tech. Because BYU, notably, had their struggles against the Red Raiders last year, had a 17-point lead in Lubbock, only to watch that slip away. And then they got embarrassed by the Red Raiders in the Big 12 Conference Tournament. That's January 7th. Then you fast forward to February 4th, and I join you in the rhetoric you just delivered. Arizona visits the Marriott Center last year. Another NCAA high-quality tournament team. They're a projected 3 seed in bracketology. And then, of course, you finally get Kansas in the Marriott Center on February 18th. I don't know what BYU fans are doing on February 18th. I don't care if you have tickets to see Taylor Swift in concert or you have a worldwide trip plan. You just make sure that you have something streaming or you are watching, because that is going to be an unbelievable atmosphere in the Marriott Center when Kansas visits Provo. Woo! Let's go!
And you know they are going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder after what happened in Lawrence last year.
For sure. Although it'll be like a brand new team that Kansas brings in.
But that leads us into our next set of topics, or our next superlative, and that is revenge games.
Yes.
What are the top three revenge games for BYU, do you think, this year?
There will be some crossover here, especially with, again, chronologically, my first recipient of this award, if you will, and it is Texas Tech. Top of the list, Jason. The way that they handled BYU in Kansas City, yikes. BYU just did not look competitive. It was like the Cougars ran out of gas because they expended so much energy just to get to that point, and then got the doors blown off in the first half, and it was like it wasn't a game. So Texas Tech coming to Provo on January 7th, not only is that a great home game, it's a great revenge opportunity. Yeah. Then specifically at Utah on January 18th, because BYU lost their first game last year in Salt Lake City. So, yeah, you could get revenge if you beat them on senior night, but it will matter more if it's in Salt Lake City in that exact same scenario. So in Salt Lake City at Utah. And then, of course, BYU's disappointing Big 12 opener a year ago was against Cincinnati. Yeah, that didn't feel good. That was not fun. Trevin Nell had 9 three-pointers, and BYU did not win that game. Let's let Trevin Nell get going again. But this time, BYU beats a better version of Cincinnati, by the way. The Bearcats are going to be really good.
They are so good.
They're going to be really good. So those are my top three revenge games. Do yours differ at all from mine?
They differ slightly. We have two of the same three. And I agreed with you 100% on the Cincinnati. That was the first one. And BYU had a chance in that game. I believe the final score was by 11 for the Bearcats. But, yeah, so you have all this hype, and then you go into the first Big 12 game, and then Cincinnati hands you the loss. So, yeah, so I agree, revenge game. Then where I doubled down on Utah, and I agree with what you said, that the game at Utah is big because that's where Utah beat BYU last year, and that was obviously a big, big win for Utah at the time to be able to knock off BYU, which was playing really, really good basketball. But I just went with both games, not just because of the loss last year, but taking the loss last year, now you are playing them twice. You can get revenge by taking both games. And quite honestly,
sweeping the series,
BYU should beat them twice this year.
Okay. Revenge on the mind. Let's go to the toughest three-game stretch. So three games that happen consecutively. Where is the most difficult part of BYU's schedule in a three-game stretch?
So I went with a three-game stretch that's both, in my opinion, the toughest because of opponent as well as travel situations. So my three were at UCF. UCF is going, they gave BYU problems last year. Now, BYU won both. But the fact that we know how good UCF is and Johnny Dawkins and that team, they're gonna be good.
Man.
And you travel to Orlando.
Yep.
So you're traveling to Florida. Then you come home to face Arizona. You're at home, but you're also taking on a really good team that most people expect to make noise in the NCAA tournament. And then you go back out on the road to take on a dangerous Cincinnati team.
Oh, it's so easy,
in
Jason.
Cincinnati. So at UCF, home to Arizona, at Cincinnati. What about you?
That's a lot of travel.
Yes.
So when
to the east, to the mountain, back to the east.
When I look at your graphic there and I see that screen, that the travel adds another dynamic to
that.
That is super tough to have to go to Orlando, come home, and then go back to Cincinnati. However, I'm going to go with the idea and the reality, for that matter, that BYU has to face Kansas and Arizona back-to-back, Jason. Yes, BYU gets Kansas in Provo. The Jayhawks are a projected one seed. They might be the most powerful college basketball team in the country when the season begins. A lot of people think they will be. So you have to play Kansas, Then you have to go on the road and play Arizona back to back, followed by a sneaky game at Arizona State. Yeah. Bobby Hurley's team is going to be better than they were last year. So you've got to somehow traverse Kansas and Arizona back to back and then have enough left to handle a feisty, up and down, high tempo Bobby Hurley Arizona State team on the road. The miles aren't involved like you presented in your three-game stretch, but man, the quality of opponents and then what you have left in the tank when you get to the end of that three-game stretch and you're still on the road at Arizona State. And that's a hostile environment. People don't understand. Arizona State's basketball fans, they bring it.
Yeah.
They're going to have more to cheer about this year. It was down last year.
There will be a lot of BYU fans there, though.
That's true, but still, Arizona State's fans, there's some volatility.
Oh, yeah.
There's some volatility there. They will let BYU hear it. That's my toughest three-game stretch. Kansas at Arizona, at Arizona State.
Okay, the next category is the biggest trap game, and I don't know how you felt about this. I actually really struggled to find a game in which I felt matched what I would consider a trap
game,
because I'm looking at the schedule and there is no easy night off.
So all the games are difficult.
So it was difficult. I don't know if you felt the same way, but where did you land on the trap game?
Just like last year, the season opener for Big 12 play, it happens to be on New Year's Eve. Now, I know the Marriott Center is going to be rocking, just like it was last year with Cincinnati for that Big 12 opener. But Cincinnati kind of snuck up on BYU, and they had put BYU in some tough spots when the Cougars' game plan that had worked so beautifully their non-conference wasn't panning out. I mean, it was Trevin Nell, but not much else. BYU was uncomfortable. They got pushed around a little bit. Arizona State's going to try and do the same thing to BYU on New Year's Eve. And then you throw in the holiday, and students aren't back yet. Students aren't back for this game. And I don't like that. The Rock will not be as rowdy because you have students that are still on holiday break. The seats, I believe, will still be filled up, but it's a different dynamic when that Rock is packed to the rafters and it's all white and they're all coordinated with their same color T-shirts. It's just a different feel. So if I had to circle one, like that one is sneaky because of the holiday and because it is the Big 12 opener. And I know that this is a different team than last year's BYU team, but that's the one that I immediately went to just because of the unique circumstances.
Yeah, that's the one I settled on because, again, I really didn't see any of these games on the entire schedule that I really viewed as a trap game. But I landed on Arizona State for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned, that it is the Big 12 opener. I think we certainly hope that BYU and the non-conference schedule can start to get into a rhythm.
Yes.
And then so you get into a rhythm and then you have a couple of days off for Christmas. And then you come back for that Big 12 opener against a team, like you said, is going to be better than what BYU faced last year. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and with it being the first one, you always want to make a really good impression. The good news is you have them at home, obviously. You had Cincinnati at home. That didn't end well last year. But just to me, I guess it's probably the closest thing to a trap game that I could find on the schedule.
Yeah, the timing of it is what makes it very, very tricky.
Look, the good news is whoever wins that game can go nuts with the Martinellis afterwards on New Year's Eve, okay?
You wake up on New Year's Day 1-0 in Big 12 play, baby. All right, final superlative question here as we break down the schedule. What's the best road trip for BYU fans?
This one was easy.
It was Kansas last year.
This one is easy. Come on. What do we as a people love more than sports, BYU sports?
Let's see. Family time?
Nah.
Okay.
No? Think more commercial.
Disney?
Disney! Of course it's at UCF. You go see a really good matchup in Orlando, and then you go check out Mickey Mouse. It's what we do.
And it's cold in Utah, and it's warm in Orlando.
So, yes, the best road trips at UCF for the game and then Disney World.
Listen, I've said this many times before. While I love Disney, San Diego is the destination of choice. And the Rady's Children's Invitational, you get a few games in 2 days over Thanksgiving weekend. And you get to go to San Diego, Jason. The best road trip. Go watch BYU play Ole Miss in that first game, and then we'll see who they get in game number two. But it's going to be a fantastic Thanksgiving weekend. You leave probably colder weather, maybe some snow. It's uncomfortable. You can play your turkey bowl in warm San Diego marine weather.
Hey,
okay?
You could also drive the hour 45 north and go to Disneyland.
You could do that. Disney's in play there too. Speaking of what you just brought up. So the Rady's Children Invitational in San Diego, eat your heart out, Ron Burgundy, over Thanksgiving weekend is my road trip of choice for BYU fans this year. And you can watch BYU football beat up on Houston on Saturday night from your hotel room. As you look over the ocean.
There we go.
Right?
Look.
As you look over Coronado.
Look, Orlando, Florida, San Diego, California. You really can't go wrong.
Yes, I believe it's San Diego.
Yeah. German? All right. Moving on. BYU basketball announced yesterday that season tickets are sold out for the 24-25 season. Not a huge surprise. Based off of the excitement level for this, This is, I think we all expected this to be, but we've got the official word
awesome.
That season tickets sold out.
Awesome.
So are you feeling more hype around the 5-0 BYU football team or basketball right now?
I can't believe we're even having this conversation.
I'm loving that we're having this conversation.
5 weeks ago, if we had asked this question, it's laughable, is it not? Because basketball had stolen the show over the summer. They had done so many remarkable things with recruiting and putting together an incredible staff and developing the moniker Pro, though, right?
Yeah.
And NBA boot camp. Highest signees in BYU basketball history in the recruiting class. They've gone international. It was so amazing for BYU basketball, and still is. But BYU football and what they have done has been so unexpected, Jason. I'm actually leaning more toward football right now. The hype train is rolling for Cougar football because it was just so off the radar. Basketball, unfortunately, and maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, they've been churning this stuff for a few months.
Right.
And so it's amazing, but we're a little bit like used to it, almost spoiled with it over the last few months. Football has been such a surprise in such a short amount of time. They're ranked in the top 20 for crying out loud. Yeah. Jason, they showed up on multiple college football playoff projections this week, which is insanity. I'm not ready to even go close to that emotionally, but it's there from the national narrative. So I'm actually going to give football a little bit of the edge here. The hype train is wild.
Look, the fact that this was a tough decision should make everybody have a big smile on their face, us included. Because like you said, this was unexpected on the football side. If you asked this question 5 weeks ago, it's not even close.
Get out of the room. Why are you asking dumb questions?
It's not even close. I still believe I'm going to lean basketball.
Okay.
And the reason I think I'm going to, and it's sort of what you just said, but in the opposite direction.
Okay.
Because we're now currently experiencing the football, it's what reality is now. And so we've been on this for 5 weeks now. So on the basketball side, it's all still the unknown. It's all still the unknown hype. And we're hearing all these things coming out. And
it is, so by definition, still hype.
So it's building. It's still building, but we don't have anything to gauge it against.
Yeah.
So for me, I think from a hype standpoint, it's still basketball because we haven't seen it yet. And what do with the unknown? We make it like the best possible thing, right? Like, oh, but look what it could do. Look what it could be.
Well, you'd be a 3 seed or like, a 2 seed.
Look, now you're starting to see, you know, all these NBA lottery projections and BYU's name being there.
Finished top 4 in the Big 12.
So I'm still leaning basketball. But the fact that it was a difficult decision, that is music to my ears.
Oh, enjoy the moment, people. Just enjoy it, because it's pretty good right now. BYU football will be undefeated until at least October 12th. And frankly, BYU basketball under Kevin Young is undefeated through October 12th as well.
Yeah.
They're not going to play a game until November. So just enjoy the moment. Like, embrace this.
It's a good time to be a BYU fan.
Our question of the day, are you feeling more hype around BYU football or basketball right now? You heard our answers. What do you think? At Wiley_Coyote_on X answers. No, I'm just kidding. If you asked this question back in July, I'd say basketball. Yeah, but it's pretty neck and neck at this point. Isn't it, though? At Nathan underscore Tolman 22 on Instagram says, right now it's BYU football because they have proven themselves. They have shown some things, and the hype has some actual backing. Going along with your point, but what is hype? Is hype about what we haven't seen? Is it more of the unknown?
Yeah.
Kind of feels that way.
To me, that is. Yeah.
Donnie Socks on X answers. He's Donnie Osmond Socks? Doesn't matter. That's like asking me to choose which of my kids is my favorite. Hey, Deion Sanders says every parent has a favorite. He, in fact, he ranks his kids. Like, right, he was like, Shiloh's my number one right now. Shador's number two.
It's a floating.
It's a poll.
It's a floating rating.
It's a moving target.
Yes, yeah. The RPI changes depending on,
Deion's children love rankings. Yeah. His love of his own children rankings. This is so funny.
Oh, boy.
Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, if you missed yesterday's episode of After Further Review, you can always find it on demand and many other things by going to BYUSN.com.
Still on the way, BYU basketball junior point guard Dallin Hall joins us live in Studio B. How are practices under Kevin Young as the Cougars get closer to the season in year two of Big 12 play? And why is he maybe the most competitive dude on the floor right now? This is BYUSN.
What a move by Hall.
Toying with him.
All the way to the basket.
Hall. Who makes no mistake? He has taken over.
Razor on there.
Ooh! Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Those highlights of Kansas are just spectacular, are they not? Still reveling in that one, Jason.
I can watch that play over and over again. In fact, I have.
Yes, we just saw it again. We are live with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play, and the man who produced that step back three at Fog Allen Fieldhouse, Dallin Hall is with us in Studio B to preview the BYU men's basketball season. Dallin, great to have you back on the show.
Great to be back, man. It's been a little while.
It has been a while. You've been busy.
Yeah,
lots been happening over the summer. My gosh. If you had to sum up the last 5 months of your life, going back to the end of the NCAA tournament to where you sit now, how would you describe those 5 months?
Lots of change. With coaches, team, new guys, and a lot of fun. We've obviously tried to create a culture here at BYU where we compete at a super high level, and we love coming into work every day. And so I feel like we've learned a lot, trying to soak it all in, and just having lots of fun getting better.
You know, we get to see these little snippets of practice, and we get to see some of these highlights, which are unbelievable. But you're in there day in and day out. Give us an idea of what these practices have been like.
Yeah, I think extremely competitive is the word that jumps first out to me. Is the coaches have done a fantastic job of creating an atmosphere, culture, and then bringing in the right guys to like supplement that. And those highlight reels, like, we got a lot of athleticism in the gym. It's kind of crazy we're posting our own guys getting postered, but that's just that's just how it is. And it's fun, like, there's no egos. Everyone's just about getting better and bought into the team. And so it's been a great summer. And we still got a little ways to go, but we feel like we're coming together.
Dallin Hall is on BYU Sports Nation. I've heard the phrase, practices are like, quote, NBA boot camp. So when I present an idea like that, how does that translate? And is that accurate? Because you have a coach who literally came from the NBA, and his staff is full of guys that have worked with so much NBA talent. So how does that translate when I present that phrase?
Well, I mean, I've never been in the NBA, but from what I can tell, like, the coaches really care about our goals and dreams of playing at the next level. And they obviously have that experience. And so it's honestly a huge blessing to be able to have that in the gym every day. The talent, you know, we have is off the charts. And so you combine that with the coaching, I think it puts us in a really good spot, and we're all just trying to, you know, learn as much as we can from this amazing coaching staff that we have.
Are there ever moments when you're like, geez, like, where you're just watching your teammates, like, do crazy things, and you catch yourself like, wow.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's some plays like Kaba, you know, he'll get up and have his head at the rim, and Cannon, he's extremely athletic, and we just have so many players that can do so many things, and it's really fun, and we push each other, and we just compete at a high level.
Whether you guys want to pay attention to it or not, the national spotlight is on BYU. There are national college basketball writers and pundits that talk about BYU. How are you guys handling being a part of the national spotlight and people really excited and wanting to focus on BYU basketball?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's kind of a flip 180 from last year. We were a little bit in the dark. And so to have it this year, it's exciting. The energy, everyone we run into is like, man, I'm so excited for basketball season. So it gets us pumped. But ultimately, we understand that, you know, the hype or the lack of hype, whatever it is, doesn't control our fate. Like, we control our own destiny. And so we're just focusing on getting better every single day. And we know that'll pay the dividends at the end of the season.
So I need to share a story. I was eating dinner with Brian Santiago recently, and he said, look, I was watching practice, and I watched Yegor take the ball from one end of the floor to the other and then just throw it down from just inside the free throw line, and I had to get up and leave. I had to get up and leave the building because I was so excited. Okay, when you are in the backcourt with him and you work closely with Yegor in the backcourt, what's that dynamic like when you watch a player like him who comes in with his European backdrop and how he's meshing with this current BYU roster?
Yeah, Yegor is he's a perfect fit for our team, for BYU. He's super selfless, like that's the first thing, on and off the court. He takes interest in his teammates. On the court, he's spectacular, like his vision is super high level. He makes passes that I've never seen anyone make before, just being 6'8", right, and having his vision. And he's super fun to play with. Like for me, it's awesome to kind of get off the ball. He can relieve some of that pressure. He can make a lot of incredible passes, and now I get to attack closeouts and things like that. And so it's new, and so we're figuring out, you know, that balance of how to play together, but he's super easy to play with just because he's so unselfish.
Yesterday, Trevin Nell mentioned that everybody on the team's trying to keep up with you from a competitive standpoint. Yeah, high praise, certainly. How has your role changed, or has it changed, heading into your third year here?
Yeah, I think, you know, my role is alongside Trevin. You know, we've been on the team, kind of the voice for the team. We try and set the standard. And so that's kind of us from a leadership aspect. Offensively, you know, still coming off a lot of pick and rolls, helping make my teammates better. And I feel like the coaches have done a great job of helping me expand my game and look for opportunities to keep pressure on the defense. And so role is similar. Just trying to be more assertive, more aggressive, and help my team any way I can.
You lead me to my next question, and that is where have you developed specifically in your game? Where are you better as a basketball player now compared to last year?
Yeah, we've worked a lot on shooting it off the bounce, and that's been a huge emphasis. We've worked a lot on defensive things like Coach JL, the virus, right? start calling me the bacteria. So we've been working on a little bit defensively just to help me stay out of foul trouble, and then been working on my free throw. So just trying to grow in those games and understand like it's a day-by-day process and trusting in that.
Heading into year two in the Big 12, year one went pretty well. That was a lot of fun. What gets you excited about your second crack at this conference, which looks a little different with the addition of a couple of teams?
Yeah, I think everyone reloaded a little bit. We got some really good teams now in it. I'm super excited to get Utah twice this year. You know, we have that last game left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth. That'll be a fun rivalry. Kansas coming to our place. You know, it's going to be a super fun year. And ultimately, like, it's a dogfight every night, and that's what's super exciting. And I'm just excited to get out there in front of the rock, get the Marriott Center jumping a little bit.
Let's go. He is the BYU basketball bacteria. Down
home. It's not as cool as the virus, I feel like.
Hey, there are healthy bacteria.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all good.
We're gonna make that work.
It's a positive thing. Okay, we were just talking about schedule superlatives. We're talking about our best home games for BYU and best road trip. And we had a revenge games category. Utah certainly falls into that because of what happened, what you just alluded to. But is Texas Tech somewhere on there for you, Dallin, based on what happened last year?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, at their place, we're up. They come storming back. And then they wax us in the Big 12 tournament. So they're definitely on there. You know, ultimately, like, not trying to get caught up in circling one game, but sure, just taking it one at a time and putting our best foot forward every single night.
You in practice get to see what this team looks like and what's possible and all the fun things that you guys can do. How excited are you for fans to be able to see this team? Obviously not in a situation where you're going to show too much, but to be able to at the Marriott Center Madness, to be able to have fans there and you guys as a team be able to go out on the court and sort of show everybody what you've got.
Right. Yeah, no, I guess I'll be the plug for that. Everyone show up, show out. We need you there, Cougar Nation. But I'm excited. Like I was saying, the athleticism of this team is at a higher level. I'm excited for everyone to just get a glimpse of what we're putting together. We're still not in the final stages, and I think that process will continue all the way till March. But I feel like we have something really special, and we're just finishing putting the pieces together and working hard every day. It's going to be fun.
Okay, quick question to wrap up. Obviously, Yegor Damin is going to attract a lot of attention. Cannon Catchings, you are very much on everyone's radar. Who's somebody on the roster right now that is a little under the radar that you're like, wow, they've gotten a lot better? You've been impressed with?
I mean, I could just list every single guy. It's been so – it's like a different guy every practice. I think, Dawson Baker, someone that doesn't get talked about as a lot. Dawson's a veteran presence, can put the ball in the basket. He can really play, and so he jumps out. Mawit, right? Yeah. He's been making some great plays, and I think he's going to be super vital for us this year. And so those are two guys that I feel like don't get talked about a lot that, you know, they can really score it and they can help our team a lot.
Love that.
Love it.
It's good to have Dawson healthy.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Seriously, unless you're guarding him, right?
Hey,
the bacteria can do whatever it wants.
Can handle anything.
For those other guys, right?
Dallin, great to have you in Studio B, man. And enjoy Marriott Madness tomorrow night.
Appreciate it. Yeah, show out, man.
Thanks, Dallin.
Looking forward to it.
All right, number 20, BYU Women's Volleyball on the road at Arizona tonight. You can check it out at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN+.
More BYU basketball on the way, specifically head coach Kevin Young and his sharpshooter Trevin Nell on how BYU's first week of practices have gone in their perspective, and some Big 12 recognition for a few BYU athletes. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Back live in Studio B, this is BYU Sports Nation. I'm Spencer Linton, he is Jason Shepherd. I feel like we should get to today's headlines.
I think we shall. Yesterday, BYU men's basketball held media availability, and head coach Kevin Young spoke to the media about a number of different topics, including the challenge of building rotations on a team that has so much depth.
I think every guy we have out there that could contribute, to be honest with you, but it's a matter of, you know, we'll whittle it down, you know, in terms of a manageable, you know, roster as it relates to subbing and guys. Like, I'm not a fan of, like, guys playing super short stints. You know, I think guys need to get longer stints to get in a rhythm, and so there's only so many minutes to be had.
In case you were wondering, by the way, Coach Young also said, quote, not very close in terms of solidifying a starting five just yet.
He's got time.
Got time.
BYU senior sharpshooter Trevin Nell also spoke to the media and specifically about the uniqueness of this year's team.
It's a really unique team, and something that I was really surprised about is, you know, we have guys like Yegor, Cannon, and Mo, and, you know, everybody that's coming in, and they're all really highly recruited guys, but their character matches their highly recruited level, you know, so it's a really unique position for me to be one of the oldest guys on the team. But to be able to still have a really good relationship with these young guys.
Cougar Nation can watch Trevin and his team take the court. As BYU basketball announced yesterday, season tickets are sold out. It's going to be a packed house every night in the Marriott Center. And you can get your first look at Marriott Madness tomorrow night.
In other basketball news, Robbie McCombs of Vanquish the Foe reported yesterday that former BYU guard Charles Abuo back with BYU as one of 7 grad assistants on Kevin Young's staff.
Number 20, BYU Women's Volleyball on the road for the first time in Big 12 play tonight at Arizona. You can watch that game live, 9 Eastern on ESPN+. And congratulations to freshman setter Alex Bauer, named Big 12 Rookie of the Week after leading BYU to a couple of wins last week.
Men's cross country holds steady at number 2, and women's cross country climbs 2 spots to number 5 in this week's USTF CCCA poll. Oh, I've missed you. And congrats to Casey Klinger who was named the Big 12 Runner of the Week after taking fourth overall at the Nutty Comb Invitational last Friday.
BYU men's and women's golf competing at the Blessings Collegiate Invitational in Fayetteville, Arkansas. The women's team currently in second place after the first two rounds. MJ Berrigan leading the way, shooting one under par, currently tied for fourth. The highlight of the day came from Berrigan, who holed out with a 50-degree wedge for eagle from 97 yards away. Here it is on your television screens. MJ Berrigan. The men's team sits in fourth place through the first two rounds. Peter Kim and Cole Ponich both in the top 10 to lead the Cougars. Good luck to both teams in their final round of competition today. That is it for your BYU Sports Nation headlines. Hey, we've talked men's hoops with Dallin Hall. Now it's time we discuss some women's basketball with assistant coach John Wardenburg. Why does he love this team so much with so many new parts? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Girls that are returning, like, we didn't do as well as we hoped. All of us are just hungry, like, we want it so bad.
Lauren Davenport, up and in. Back out to Whiting. He drives in the lane, floater with the right hand, and good.
With this group, we're going to be able to just be able to fight every night.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepard. Shep, listening to some of your calls from last season, does that get you juiced?
Yes,
for
it does.
Women's basketball?
I cannot wait for year two. Let's go.
Well, let's bring in a great guest to discuss that very topic. He is BYU Women's Basketball Assistant Coach John Wardenburg. Great to have you back in Studio B, Coach.
Spencer, thanks for having me. Shep, it's always great to see you. See you every day almost. It seems like working every day, but yeah, really, really excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
I'll ask you a similar question to what I just brought up with Jason. When you watch those highlights and you hear Shep's voice and you think about the prospect of taking another step forward and getting another season in the Big 12 under your belt, what kind of emotions do you feel?
Oh, excited. I mean, our if you've come and watched us practice, the steps we've made this summer and into this fall are fantastic. Got a great group of girls. They're together, they're playing, they're practicing hard, and really, really excited about the steps that we believe we're going to take this year.
You know, I think the word that comes to mind as I'm watching practice, well, two, energy, and the team's hungry. They're fighting for loose balls, and I think the camaraderie has been good. There is a really positive, strong energy in those practices.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that our returning girls have done a great job of letting the new girls understand and know this is where you're at and this is where we need to be. And that's really, really been important to us. And then we've added some girls with some maturity, some girls that have played. I mean, Camry Martin is a girl that has played for 4 years in a Pac-12. I mean, she knows the level of where we need to be. And she's been a great leader for us also. And so, love our leadership, love what our more experienced girls are bringing, but also the energy and the passion that our younger girls are playing with has been fantastic.
Without question, Kimmery helps fill at least part of the void that Lauren Gustin leaves with that veteran leadership. So how else do you try and make amends for the best rebounder in the country no longer being with the team?
Well, I think that Shep mentioned it, there's much more camaraderie. The chances of having another 15 to 16 a game rebounder, that's pretty hard to do. And, you know, we like the pieces that we've added in there, but as a group, we have to be better rebounders. We have to be better defenders collectively. And don't forget, I mean, it isn't just Gustin we're replacing. We got Smiler, that Kaylee that's not here anymore, that just was a fireball every time she took the floor, and then Kaylee Wolston's on a mission. And
yeah,
I mean, we've got some big pieces to fill, but we're excited about where we're headed and what we're doing so far.
Fair point. And I feel like you're talking about a lockdown defender who was obviously under the radar, but I mean, you said Kaylee out there to often guard the opponent's best player.
Yeah, Smy was like, almost every game was like, hey, you got Shep, don't let him sniff the ball.
And guarding me, honestly, was not a problem at all, I promise.
But she did a fantastic job of it. And then she hit open shots. And, you know, so those three, among others, you know, we've had some girls that left and gone into portal, but it's yeah, really like what we're doing to replace them.
You mentioned, you know, a lot of new faces and a lot of young, talented players have come into the program on top of some of the transfers. You mentioned Kimry already. Who are some of those new players that fans should pay attention to?
Well, I think you're going to love Kendra Gillespie, KG. I think that she brings a passion and joy of playing. Again, she's been to several. She started at Baylor, then she transferred. I think it was Arkansas State. Don't quote me on that. But now she's here, and just how passionate she is, and thankful, and she's doing a really, really, really good job for us. And then our freshman group, another transfer, Mariah is Hodgkins from Santa Clara, is just doing a fantastic job. Again, all of those girls in the portal that we brought in have been fantastic. And then you add our freshman, Delaney Gibb has been not going to say a surprise, because we knew what she's capable of. And she, along with, you know, with our other freshmen, have just been fantastic for us.
BYU Women's Basketball Assistant Coach John Wardenberg is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Coach, we were just talking about Kaylee Smiler being that lockdown defender. Who is that player this go-around right now?
Well, I think, I mean, that conversation probably starts with Amari. She's proven it, and she's taken another step, another year out from where, you know, from her ACL recovery. I mean, you think about what we tried to do last year and what we did. We started two true freshmen at the guard line in the Big 12.
It's wild.
Yeah, it is wild. And she has come. She's prepared herself. We don't have the stats here, but I will tell you that in terms of summer preparation in the weight room, Amari led us in every category that Steve, our weight guy, put together. Amari plus, plus, plus. And so she's really, really taken steps. And so we'll start with her. I mentioned Delaney has done a fantastic job of adapting and trying to figure out how we need to defend. And then we have a couple other freshmen that I think you're really, really going to like. Cambry Barber, a long athletic girl from Idaho, and Brinley Cannon, a last name that, you know, BYU Cougar fans will remember. Her brother McKay played here. And those girls, along with Sarah Bartholomew, have brought a certain passion about defending, and we're really excited to have them part of our group.
And it's not Cambry, it's Cambry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, we.
We had that conversation.
We had that conversation when she joined us here. We want to make sure that it gets pronounced correctly. Yes. Yes. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, we now have the conference schedule. It was released within the last couple of days. So now you've got to look at year two in the Big 12. And that's been so much of the talk over the last little while, is BYU going into the Big 12. Now that you've had an opportunity to play in this league, now going into year two, what do you make of the schedule, and how much better prepared do you feel as a coaching staff and a team heading into this conference again?
Well, obviously, second year, you've traveled. You've gotten some of those kinks out. You know, oh, this hotel's better than that hotel. Obviously, with the niche addition of these four new teams, a little bit different. But I think the schedule makers were good to us. We have three teams that we play home and home. That would be the school up north and the two Arizona schools. And I think that's great for us. They're in the same time zone. We're not having to go multiple time zones to get to them on the road or whatever. I think we have a great home schedule. And then our road trips, our road games, are games that we have three where we're back-to-back road. And two of them are kind of where we're, you know, kind of compressed, where probably we're going to stay out the road. But I also love the fact that three of our last five games are at home, and the other two that are not at home are, again, in the same time zone. So one is a bus trip, and the other is a quick trip to Arizona.
Marriott Madness tomorrow night.
Yeah.
What are you guaranteeing that fans will experience if they are in the building tomorrow night?
Well, they're going to experience seeing a whole bunch of new faces for the women's basketball team. I can tell you that Coach Wardenburg is probably the last to know about all the stuff that's going on that stuff. Pretty focused on our practices and scheduling and recruiting that stuff. But it's going to be absolutely chaos. I've loved watching what the men are doing. I love their staff. I think they're doing a great job. And again, along with us, I think both programs are trending not only like this, but
way up.
Like way up. Way, way up.
I wanted to ask you real quick, and maybe it's not a quick answer, but I know how close you are with Dave Rose. And we got to see Dave. He was at practice just the other day and actually talked to the team. But he was just recently inducted into the BYU Hall of Fame. And I know that you have a really close relationship with him. What does that mean for you to see him getting those honors?
Oh, I don't want to get real emotional here, Shep, but I think that past due, first of all, and I think what Dave did to help build basketball here is really underestimated and underappreciated in a lot of areas. The fact that he spearheaded building the annex and got that thing going, and the level that he brought that to is unbelievable. And I'm so happy for Dave. I'm happy for his family. Happy for the players. We had a chance. Lee kind of got together a couple of teams Thursday night, and we all met at a local pizza place and got together, and Coach was there. And just to see the growth of those young men and the love that they have for Dave, it was great. And I'm glad that he was honored. No, not glad. I'm ecstatic that he was honored. It was great.
Very, very well said. A great way to end this interview.
Yeah,
as
thank
we think
you.
About Dave and how much joy he has brought to BYU fans.
It was great having him talk to our girls.
Yeah.
And the wisdom that he shared was absolutely. One thing about Coach Rose, I'll tell you real quick, is that the guy knew how to build teams. And he knew how to get teams to play together. And he knew about leadership and getting everybody bought into a common goal. And, you know, I think we're headed for us this year. We're headed in that direction. Like I said, that's why we're trending this way. And I believe the men are also.
Great stuff. Coach Wardenburg, thanks for spending some time with us on BYU Sports Nation.
Anytime. You guys appreciate all you guys do for us and our individual program, but our school.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah. Always a pleasure to have you with us. After the break, are all of you feeling more hype around BYU football or basketball right now? I'm just glad we're having the conversation because both deserve the hype. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation with our question of the day, which is, are you feeling more hype around BYU football or BYU basketball right now? Stripling Warrior answers on Instagram, got to be basketball. He's with you, Jason, especially with potentially two first-round draft picks. Cannon Catchings, again, entering that conversation.
Getting some love.
Along with Yegor Demick.
Yes.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. On the hype question, LR_Chiz on X answers, I cannot wait for BYU men's basketball to start, but right now I am enjoying the ride with BYU football.
As we all are, yes.
It's been unbelievable, to say the least. Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
I know this will surprise you. Somebody on campus got engaged.
What?
What?
At BYU as a student?
As a student. Ben Bywater.
Oh, he is.
Congratulations to Ben Bywater.
A fantastic human at that.
Look at that. On one knee, proposing to his now fiance.
Congratulations to Ben and Kate. The Bywaters are about to become a reality.
So cool. Congratulations.
And the setup, they were on a boat. He had a captain's hat on. Like, this is Ben, right?
He's great. He's great. So cool. Congratulations to both of them.
Very exciting. Oh, the flower arrangements around. Gosh, I'm starting to think I messed up big time when I asked my wife to marry me. Not that I made a mistake asking her.
Oh, boy.
But how I
Let's wrap it up.
I went about it. how I went about.
You are in so much trouble.
Come on now. Our thanks to today's guest, Dallin Allen, John Wardenburg.
I hope things are great when you get home, Spencer.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Go Cougs! Go Marriage!